First of all, to all of the campers, man, you guys are inspiring. It was my first time being down there. It's ringing up here. And to hear your hearts expressed and what impacted you and changed you, pass on that inspiration to others. So they're really incredible. So we're going to be talking about being filled up by being known and loved. And it was talked about by the campers. But there's a difference between knowing about somebody and having a deep, vulnerable relationship that is honest, that is connected, and that will walk with each other through the highs and the lows. You know, there's a lot of pseudo connections going on. The great fake out is social media. You know, technology is not all bad, and it gives us ways to connect when we're distant. On the other hand, right now, mental health, isolation, and loneliness is at an all-time high. And yet people look at their social media accounts and say, I'm connected to hundreds and thousands of people. You say, how can that be? Because knowing information about somebody is not the same thing as having a deep, vulnerable friendship with somebody. Knowing facts about Jesus is not the same thing as having a real relationship with Jesus. When we're known and loved, we're not afraid to be vulnerable. We're not afraid to display or talk about our weaknesses because we're immersed in what the New Testament calls agape love. It's that unconditional love that pours itself out and loves you and walks with you through the highs and lows of life. The Old Testament calls it hesed. And we are grateful that God has chosen us and loves us with a hesed love. Not a conditional love. It's amazing to think he loves us as much on our best moments as at our worst. And so to everybody that went to Heartland Youth Camp, you got a taste of being known and loved. I tell parents through 36 years of the ministry, get your kids to camp. I actually believe the impact of going to camp for a week is about the same as going to church for a year. Because of the depth of relational connection that happens in a week, it's irreplaceable. So we're going to be talking about being known and loved, and we're going to be coming out of John 10. Let's see, did I go the right way? Yes, I did. Okay, John 10. Reading verse 1 to 18, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard this were divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Jesus says a lot here about being the good shepherd and the behavior of the sheep, the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. Jesus' words were so profound that the Pharisees looked at it and their first response is, "He's demon-possessed." You know, teens, middle schoolers, what you heard last weekend at camp, you go to high school and people might think you're demon-possessed for believing what you just shared up on stage. But Jesus is the good shepherd and you have things on straight. You know, something Jesus said in this passage we need to take note of. He asked a question, and he says this. He says, "They will never follow a stranger's voice." You know, the Christian life is difficult. It's a challenge. It takes, you know, the hardest parts of character and says, "Submit them to my word." And sometimes it feels like a real struggle. Other days, Christianity just seems to flow easily. Yet a good question for us is Jesus a close friend or is he a stranger? Because if you're reading the Bible and you're just trying to implement what his words say, but he's not a friend, you're going to hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. Why? Because they will never follow a stranger's voice. If Jesus is a stranger, why would you follow him? The closer you get to Jesus, the more desirable it is to follow his teaching. But if all he has given you is facts from a stranger, where's the motivation to follow? He's simply a substitute teacher in life. There's a huge difference between being able to repeat scriptures that talk about Jesus versus knowing Jesus. When the Bible uses the word know, it's talking about an experiential relationship that you have. You know, we moved 31 years in Los Angeles, and I'll give you some insight. If you meet somebody that spends all their time trying to convince you that they're in the industry and they're connected in the industry, they're not. Because people who are truly connected in the industry will never tell you that they are, and if you ask, will actually downplay it. Do you know Jesus, or do you just know about Jesus? You know, my wife will be here. Oh, let's see here. I went the wrong way on this. Here we go. If you look on the screen, my wife will be here in a little bit, but she was out in St. Charles because standing next to her, second from the left, is Gina Meredith, and she is now your sister in Christ. She was baptized this morning out in St. Charles. She made her good confession, Jesus is Lord, and was baptized to get her sins forgiven. You know what? Her journey culminated in this moment But it didn't start there. The friendship began with the Bible studies. And when it got to the point where she said, no, he's my friend and that's who I want to follow, the decision to become a Christian and get baptized just made sense. Jesus said in John 10 here, he says, all who come before me are thieves and robbers. And he said, anybody that enters by another gate comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then he says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. He says, I am the gate. And whoever enters through me will be saved. There are a lot of gatekeepers in the world we live in. There's a lot of people that are saying, hey, enter and find fulfillment in life through this path. Jesus is simply one of many voices. Now, the Bible tells us that his way is the one that leads to the fulfilling life. But there's the gate of advanced degrees. You say, well, what's, I've got a few of those. But you know what? If you think you're going to be happy because you get another degree, it's empty. There's a relationship gate. If only I can get married, if only we have kids, if only, and we put another human in the place to say, this is where I will find fulfillment. It's empty. No human can bear the weight of what God alone is meant to be. There is the career pursuit gate. And what that means is career comes first. And I fit my Christianity around my career path. And if I can get my career on straight, then I'll find fulfillment that way. The Bible is not against career. The Bible is not against working hard. But if you think the path to fulfillment lies through one of those other gates, just reread the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon had more resources and opportunities than we will ever have. And there's a reason why multiple times in that book he says, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. But Jesus says, I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He goes, it is the path to fulfillment. But we must choose Jesus' way. It's countercultural. We live in a culture that says you got to look out for number one. It's all about the individual. It's about meeting my needs. And anything that infringes upon my needs, my schedule, my wants, my dreams, my desires, I will call it oppressive. So we end up overwhelmed. And we say, I've got too much on my plate. I need to live a balanced life. But then we draw a conclusion that skipping a midweek or a family group is going to be the thing that balances our life. Now, there might have been a time 40 years ago where we are out of balance. We are so far from that now. Now, I'm not saying we're not out of balance, but we're not out of balance because God is expecting too much in your life. Sports has no problem expecting a lot. Band has no problem expecting a lot. We need to keep our loves in order. You know, I appreciate, she's a young sister, but she's older than me, and I'm 59, so I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but Cynthia Fields, she was baptized about a year ago, But we had a great mission Sunday right out there in that field. Cynthia worked all night. And then she was one of the first people to be at church, and she was helping set up, and she was one of the last to leave. And so I heard a conversation, and they said, Cynthia, you know, you got here early. You woke up early. And she started chuckling. And she goes, well, I never went to bed. They go, you just stayed up all night? She goes, no, I worked all night. So I figured I'm already awake. I might as well come to church and help out. And then she was back in the kitchen cleaning up late, and she was one of the last to leave. You know, why would Cynthia do something like that? Because she believes that Jesus' way is the path to fulfillment. I can't tell you how many times I made a decision that I didn't think I had the energy to fulfill, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And at the end of it, I go, huh, I'm so glad I did that. Fortunately, I'm married to a wife that helps me when I struggle with that. Third thing I want to focus on is what Jesus says here. He says, laying down your life is the Jesus way. Yeah, I want to hold up Luke Chris. Where is he? There he is, right there. Luke has been flying back from Florida to be a counselor at camp. For how many years, Luke? 5 years flying back from Florida. Why? I asked him that, and he said, because this year my buddies were seniors, and I had to complete the journey of camp with them. You know, Luke was motivated. He was fired up. Why? Because it's personal to him, his buddies. Luke could say, I'm older than those guys. It's like they're not my peers. It's like Luke's like, no. Those guys mattered to me. I had to come back so I could complete camp with them. You know, that's what Jesus looked at when he talks about being the good shepherd. And I love his line. He said, I lay it down of my own accord. If church is a place where you come and somebody tells you you have to lay down your life, you're going to have nothing but angst and bitterness in your heart. But the Jesus way is the one where we go, no. Nobody told me anything. I laid it down of my own accord. I made the choice. Now, he's talking here about relationships, and he says there's a good shepherd and there's a hired hand. Now, outwardly, they do the exact same job. They take care of the sheep. But the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. Just wants the wages. Well, what's the wages of relationships? Well, sometimes it's the friendship that we get in turn. Sometimes it's the prestige. Hey, you know, if I do this, then I'm going to be in a position of influence. But Jesus says there's going to be a fundamental test that's going to test those relationships, and it's the wolf. And he said the hired hand and the good shepherd change their response when there is a wolf present. He says the hired hand runs away. You find out real quickly what kind of friend you have when you're at your worst. When you are not kind, not loving, you're not reciprocating the love that you're being shown. The good shepherd hangs in there and says, I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. I believe in you. We're going to journey together. The hired hand says, I'm not getting anything out of this. There's a threat. I run the other way. Here's a question. How do you handle the wolf in your friendships? One book I read talked about this. How do you deal with weaknesses in each other's lives? We got three choices. We can be a protector. We can be a predator. Or we can be a possum. Protector looks at somebody who's weak, rallies around them, defends them, maintains their dignity, and says, you're at a weak moment. I will stand in the gap between you and whatever may hurt you. I will protect you. A predator uses the weaknesses on display against them. A possum doesn't want to have anything to do with it. You ever had one of those conversations in fellowship where you just ask somebody, hey, how you doing? Expecting to hear, hey, great. And then they burst into tears. And you're like, okay, this is not going to be a short conversation. See, a possum wants to run the other way at that moment. A possum is, hey, if you can't find anyone else to help you, then call me. A possum is too busy. See, possum excuses are, you know, it's inconvenient. You know, wouldn't it be great if we all scheduled our weak moments when our strongest friends had the most available time? It has not been my experience that that happens in life. And when you experience what I call the most difficult thing in Christianity is the unanswered why questions. You know, the very thing Job had to go through. Why? Why? I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. And we have our theology all worked out that life is going to be one blessing to another and one victory to another. And then we hit one of those moments and there's no answer and it feels like we're praying in a vacuum. Then what? You surrounded by protectors? Or possums? Or predators? Jesus says, no one takes it from me. He said, I lay it down of my own accord. See, the decision to be known and loved is not something that can be demanded. You have to be known right now in fellowship. You need to get around and make sure that you're known. It's not going to work. Because it's got to be your decision. It's your response. But to be known and loved with that unconditional love takes incredible effort. It takes incredible time, emotional resources, and other sacrifices that bond you in a way that cannot be found in any other path. The idea of finding a perfect best friend that just happens to be the perfect person for you, that is a lie of Satan. Because they may start perfect until you get to know them. And then there's 100% chance that that person has chosen to become a friend of a sinner. Yep, that's you. And vice versa. But your best, deepest, most meaningful friendships have taken 5 years and 10 years and 20 years and 30 years of perseverance and love again and again and again. Jesus called us to be good shepherds. Campers, and you got a week of experiencing that last week, don't lose those connections. Build on them. You inspired us today. Keep it going. But you know what? Those that didn't go to camp, us older people, you know how you get close? Spending time together. Not a text. Plan it. Get together. Late at night. You know, and there's a lot of good soccer games on right now if you're a World Cup fan. The U.S. team was so awesome that Manny has, decided he wants to be a U.S. fan over Canada. You got to talk trash a little bit around World Cup. We will not escape the voices that say, here's the gate you want to walk through. And every single one of us has a choice of what gate we're going to respond. If it's harder than we feel like it should be, then a good place to start is in our relationship with Jesus, because we will never follow a stranger. Jesus has to be more than a set of facts from a good teacher. He's got to be a real relationship and friendship, and then following his commands come naturally. And so, men and women, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life to the full. That is not an individual promise, but a communal promise. That we are all obligated to help each other live a fulfilling life. And let's follow the Jesus way together. Amen. Let's stand as we close in a final song.